Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be talking with actress Patricia Heaton about her recent trip to Zambia with the charity World Vision and how it influenced her spiritual life. After that, I'll feature the conclusion of my interview with Academy Award-nominated screenwriter Randall Wallace about his book, Living the Braveheart Life. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my first guest today is actress Patricia Heaton. You'll know Patricia from her Emmy-winning role as Deborah Barone on Everybody Loves Raymond, and from her more recent work as Frankie Heck on The Middle. But she's also a woman committed to combining her Christian faith with action, which is something she did recently during a trip to the country of Zambia in southern Africa. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome back to Christopher Close-Up, Patricia Heaton. Patricia, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, before we talk about your TV work on The Middle and this new show, Patricia Heaton Parties, I want to start with this recent trip you took to Zambia on behalf of World Vision. What prompted you to take this trip?
I've been, you know, supporting World Vision for a long time, and I was always surprised at how a lot of people aren't aware of World Vision, given that it's probably the largest NGO in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a non-governmental organization. And the work they do is so great, and it's like intensive. Every place that they go into, they really take a careful look at it. And when they commit to being in an area, they are there for 12 to 15 years.
Wow.
They help coordinate other NGOs' work, whether it's clean water, education, nutrition, that type of thing. And they really stay in there until the foundations of the work they do have really taken hold in the community. And they don't leave until the community can really execute all the things that World Vision has brought in. So they're very thorough. They're very holistic. And the people are so wonderfully dedicated. And I really wanted to try to be able to bring a little more awareness to the work that they do so that we can continue to raise support.
Right. Well, I know you've done mission trips before. Was this your first trip to Africa?
No, I've been to Sierra Leone about 6 years ago before all the Ebola.
Yeah. Well,
I went with my then 15-year-old son, who's my oldest. He's now about to graduate from college, but I took him. And we went with our pediatrician who takes a group once or twice a year for many years now over there to do some work in relation with a church over there that helps sort of set everything up. So we did a medical clinic in Sierra Leone,
Okay. Which
was really wonderful and intensive. And for Zambia, this recent trip with World Vision, I took my youngest, who is 16,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to meet our new sponsor children. Build bikes there that
wow.
Vision supports to give to people. Getting a bike is like having a car there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to see a lot of the different development programs, savings clubs where women put their money together, kind of like a small bank, take out loans and start businesses and building, you know, onto their house and buying goats and animals and things like that.
Right.
We learned about the gift catalog that World Vision has, where a couple goats can make a huge difference in the lives of a family. Their clean water projects, their mother's nutrition projects, and they're helping coordinate some medical clinics that are being built there with some churches from the United States. So it was really great for me and for my son, you know, who lives a pretty nice life in California, to see how a large number of people in the world live with no electricity, now just getting clean water wells, things like that. So it was just a great trip. And the people of Zambia are so beautiful. They really don't have much, and they're so lovely and so grateful. And it was really humbling.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to actress Patricia Heaton about her trip to Zambia on behalf of World Vision. The website is worldvision.org. How does an experience like this affect your own faith life? Do you become home more spiritually grounded than when you left?
I think I came home more determined to simplify my life and clear out a lot of the clutter, just even physical clutter.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get back to work right away when I came home, so I'm still kind of little by little trying to clean out my closet and clean the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dave said I wanted to start getting rid of my husband.
Well, now, wait a minute. You're on your show, Patricia Heaton Parties. You're celebrating your anniversary, so.
That's right, yes. No, well, that's the joke you can make when you've been married 25 years. But it really, I think, is a reminder of how much we've been given mm-hmm. in this country. Just being born on this soil is a huge gift. Because there's no matter what level you were born at economically, you know, you can really make your way and have opportunities. And I saw people in Zambia who were clearly gifted and talented and had dreams of wanting to do certain things which they were not able to do because of where they live. And
right.
so I was really, I felt grateful. I felt just very humbled really by the love of the Lord that the people in Zambia have.
Right.
And, you know, we can get so frustrated and angry and entitled here when you know, the Starbucks doesn't have soy milk. You know, they run out of soy milk. You know, it ruins our day. And so to see people who really struggle and who really have the joy of the Lord in them was extremely humbling and definitely has made me have to go back to basics with my, my faith.
Right, right. Well, since you just mentioned soy milk, I saw a picture of you on Twitter making soy milk, and I'm wondering now, is Frankie Heck on the Middle going to start making her own soy milk to save money?
Well, it's a perfect thing in L.A. because you're making soy milk and you're getting exercise by grinding the soybeans through that bicycle contraption. But yeah, I don't say that's not, Frankie can barely bring home a takeout on time. So I don't think we're going to be seeing her doing that. I'm actually thinking about making hazelnut milk because somebody just told me how to do it and said it's really delicious. So I'm a little bit different from Frankie in that I actually can do some of those things.
Right, right. I'm talking to Patricia Heaton. She has a new show on the Food Network coming out called Patricia Heaton Parties. What was the genesis of this show? Because your characters are generally not known for being great in the kitchen. Is this kind of to defy the stereotype?
Well, yes. I mean, Deborah Barone and Frankie Heck, part of their character is either not being able to cook at all or in Deborah's case, only being able to make lemon chicken. But I've been self-taught with cooking, and I have to say, it's not always perfect. You know, I've made some really disastrous mashed potatoes that we could, you know, plaster our house with instead of eating. But so I've been really teaching myself along the way when I started having kids. Having friends over and cooking, and I really kind of enjoyed playing the housewife. And it was before I really had started working a lot. And part of that interest came from working survival jobs in New York, you know, at a hotel, high-end hotel, and in a couple of restaurants, where I really got to try different food and see how service can really make a difference in a meal. And it was really fun to be living in New York and experience all different kinds of food. And I also worked for an event planning agency where we did big dinners at galas and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really got a great education in New York and, you know, in my small way, you know, started trying to entertain people in my home. And it's really fun. I think, you know, I loved working in restaurants because you're around people who are enjoying themselves over food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always loved to kind of do that. I got very busy between having my kids and doing Everybody Loves Raymond and now doing the middle. So it tapered off a bit, but now my kids are kind of much more independent. And so I'm having more time to get back to those things that I love.
So is the show going to give viewers a more personal look at your life, too?
Yes, definitely. We're having some of our cast members from the middle are joining me along with my family members and some very close friends that I've had for years. So it's going to be it was a really fun show to do and to have everybody over. And, it's just fun and funny. And it's really about being not intimidated by having people over and trying some new dishes. And really, it's a little more about cocktail parties, which is an easy way to have friends over without feeling like you have to do a five-course sit-down dinner.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this partly encouraging people to gather together with their friends and family and get creative and have fun.
Right. All right, let me close with a question about the middle, because after 7 years, I still think the writing is brilliant, the acting is brilliant. It's, you know, it kind of walks that line between modern edginess and have that family feel, that heart to it. After seven seasons, what is still appealing to the show to you?
Well, I totally agree with you. The writing is so great. And, you know, after 7 years, or after 6 years, this is our seventh, so mm-hmm. at the end of seasons, you're thinking, can the writers do it again? Because it really is starts with the writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are so dedicated. And they're not just really writing one story a week. There's usually three storylines mm-hmm. per episode. So you're doing three stories a week times, I think we're on our we just celebrated our 150th episode.
Wow.
So that's three times 150. You know, so that's a lot of stories. That's a lot of stories. So, I hope they can come up with more. And yet it continues to be just wonderful. Sometimes when kids go off to college in a show, the show kind of fails because they start having to bring in the long-lost cousin from Romania, you know.
Yeah.
He shows up on their doorstep. But what's been great is they've really followed the kids' journey into college. Fortunately, the college they go to is not far away, so mm-hmm. they can come home. But that's what I'm going through right now in my life. And so I'm actually really enjoying watching, you know, they kind of mirror my life to a T. And just what we just had, our premiere was dropping Sue off at college. And it was a very similar experience I had to taking my third one to college. So,
okay.
You know, it's just been, they're just hitting the nail on the head every time. And I'm so impressed with their talent and dedication, all our writers.
Yeah, yeah. Especially with Sue, just because the Christophers are so revolve around lighting a candle rather than cursing the darkness. I don't know that there's a character on television that embodies that ideal more than Sue Heck. Will that be challenged in college? Because I think Frankie relies on her optimism.
Yes. Well, it was so funny because in last night's episode, mm-hmm. Sue is having a really hard time adjusting to college, and her roommate has not shown up yet. And she finally gets invited to hear some guy sing and play his guitar, and she's very excited. But she comes back, and apparently the talk turned to politics after the guy played his guitar. And Sue calls her mom and says, "Mom, did you know that there are some people that don't love America?"
I know. That's a great line.
Just a classic, wonderful line of Sue, and it's why her character has been such a breakout star for the show. It's because I don't think we've seen a character like her, a young woman, a teenager, who's not slutty and not snotty and not disrespectful to the parents or smarter than the parents, just someone who is optimistic despite never having anything go her way. And, you know, cheerful and has a vision for her future, you know. And I think it's just a wonderful character that we've never seen before. And Eden Cher, who plays Sue, is just so wonderful. And she herself is a very, very down-to-earth, non-Hollywood person who's just a joy to work with, as are all the cast members, I must add. We're really You know, sometimes people can get tired of each other after this many years and spending 12 to 14 hours a day together. But we really have a great relationship, and I'm so blessed to have gotten yet another show, like Everybody Loves Raymond, where we really adore each other. And, you know, I'm all still in contact with everybody from Raymond, and it's just been, you know, a blessing to be able to do another show. And a show that's a family show.
Yeah.
And that we've gotten so many comments about people feeling comfortable that they can sit down with their kids and with the middle, and that it's hard to find a show like that anymore.
It's true.
So
it's true.
I'm blessed that I can feel comfortable with the work I'm doing.
Absolutely. And thank you. And I know you have to run to the set in order to do that show, The Middle. So I appreciate your taking the time to talk to us. So people watch The Middle Wednesday nights. Patricia Heaton Parties on the Food Network and worldvision.org for more information on that organization. Patricia, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you so much.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute with part two of my interview with author, screenwriter, and director Randall Wallace. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When Father James Keller founded the Christophers, he chose the organization's name because it means Christ bearers in Greek. He wanted to encourage everyone to discover their God-given talents, combine their faith with action, and change the world for the better. For ideas on how you can be a Christ bearer in your own life, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Being a Christopher. It's filled with quotes and insights from Father Keller himself, who once explained, "The presence of even one Christopher in any environment is a blessing, a channel of grace, and a step in the right direction. It's like a tiny pinpoint of light that is greater than the encircling darkness." To request your free copy of Being a Christopher, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and next we have the conclusion of my interview with Randall Wallace. On our last episode, I started talking with the screenwriter of Braveheart and the director of the movie Heaven is for Real, and he shared a lot of personal details about his life. Details he also writes about in the inspirational memoir Living the Braveheart Life, Finding the Courage to Follow Your Heart. When time ran out, we kept talking, so here now is the rest of my conversation with Randall Wallace. Braveheart is known for this Christian understanding, but the last movie you did was Heaven is for Real, which became really a huge success. And I'm curious, did you expect it to be as big as it was? Do you think it just touched a certain spiritual nature in us that modern entertainment doesn't always feed?
Tony, that's a great question, because with Braveheart, I never had a sense that a lot of people were going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was eye-opening for me to think that something so deeply personal for me had also resonated with other people. With Heaven is for Real, I definitely had a hope that it was going to appeal to other people, because I felt that the theme, the question of is there a heaven, what is heaven like, was universal,
mm-hmm.
is universal. As one of my friends put it, the human mortality rate is hovering very close to 100%. And we all, you know, lose someone we love. And the older we get, the more we have experienced death and the mystery of death. So I believe that that was a universal question.
No, it kind of ties into the theme of your book, Living the Braveheart Life. Again, in the dedication of the book, you mentioned you had a pre-release screening of Heaven is for Real in Mississippi for children from the palliative care unit of the Blair Batson Memorial Children's Hospital. What can kids like that who are going through such a hard time, or really anybody who's going through some kind of medical, you know, tragedy at that point, what can they teach us about having brave hearts?
Wow. I'll tell you, the young woman that I mentioned in the dedication of the book was a normal child. She knew what it was to run and play and have all of her limbs work. And then when she was 9 or 10 years old, she was in a car accident that paralyzed her from the neck down. And her mind is brilliant and sharp, and her spirit is beautiful. And she's the one that watched Heaven Is For Real. And when we asked afterwards, how did you like the movie? She said, I felt that God was right in my face.
Wow.
And the idea of that is so humbling to me, so overwhelming when I can walk and breathe easily and do things I want to do. And when I think, if I ever have what I think is a bad day, I can think of her. And her attitude is that her accident was a great gift because she got to know the loving doctors and nurses who take care of her.
Wow, what a perspective.
Yeah, so that metaphor, I suggest, of joy is a byproduct of faithful suffering is certainly, I think, accurate in her case. And she and the others like her are just a reminder that God has joy,
mm-hmm.
and the suffering that we think we're experiencing is nothing.
Yeah, no, and just like hearing that just reminds me, you know, especially for you as a storyteller, about the power that stories can have on our lives. Do you remember the first time that a story touched you so much personally that you thought, maybe I'd like to do this for a living?
Tony, I love that question because it's one that I will think of frequently when I'm asking myself if I want to do a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I realized when I was about 16 or 17 years old, I had seen The Man for All Seasons.
Okay, sure.
And
St. Thomas
I clearly
Moore.
Had the thought when I walked out of the theater, my life will never be the same because of what I just saw.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the kind of story that I wanted to find and tell, and the way I wanted to live my life. Find those stories that have the power to transform, because of course it's the spirit in them that is working in us.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that you point that movie out, because, you know, with Braveheart, in the story of Robert the Bruce, in a way it's the opposite of Richard Rich in A Man for All Seasons. He sells his soul basically for whales, whereas Robert the Bruce takes the opposite tact and he finds his soul as a result of William Wallace's death. So it's kind of a nice parallel, the way that, I don't know if it's intentional, but that's how I see it, you know, working out between those two movies.
Yes, exactly right. It's that thing of a man who desperately wants something, who believes that if he doesn't get a beautiful robe and a promotion and a title, that his life will be nothing. And he finds that he has sold his life in wanting things that are false idols.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I hadn't thought of it in just that way, but it's precisely the point.
Right. I'm talking to Randall Wallace about his book, Living the Braveheart Life, Finding the Courage to Follow Your Heart. I know I've kept you longer than expected. Let me just ask one final question, because at the Christophers, everything we do is supposed to reflect this motto, this old proverb, that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. When you hit times of darkness in your life, whether it's in your personal life or in when you're writing a script or something like that, where do you find the courage to light that metaphorical candle and move toward a brighter future?
Tony, I love the Christopher's motto, and I love getting to talk with you and to get to reflect on such questions. I think that where I find the courage is in having had the experience that God is there. Even in the darkness, God is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to light the candle for me, but God sees me and sees it all even without the candle. And I also realize that it is easy for me to love because I've been surrounded by love my whole life. My grandmother, my father, my mother, my sister, that people who loved me just always seemed to be around. And my job is to love other people so that it's easier for them to love God and to find that kind of faith. Even though I have been loved so fully, I still find those moments when I am frightened and in despair, and I have to remember, I have to keep looking to find the light and to find the faith that God is there even in the darkness. So I can't blame anyone else for having a struggle with faith to do that too, but that's what I do. I keep remembering it. And look, I should say too, it's Jesus of Nazareth. There to me is an absolute reason that God manifested himself in the person of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what God is or looks like without Jesus. Jesus is for me, as I believe it was Karl Barth said, it's meaningless to say that you believe in God unless you can say which God you mean. And when I look at Jesus, I say, okay, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
by the way God is. What is the quality of God? What is the spirit of God? What is the person of God? That's it for me.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Randall Wallace about his memoir, Living the Braveheart Life, Finding the Courage to Follow Your Heart. If you've seen his movies like Braveheart, like Heaven is for Real, you know that he's got a lot of talent. But what I learned today, and what I learned from reading this book, Living the Braveheart Life, is that he's also a man of deep faith, of deep love, of deep substance. And you're going to get that, you know, the things we talked about today, and even a lot deeper into his book if you read Living the Braveheart Life. So, Randall, thanks so much for the talent you've shared with all of us for years and for sharing your story with me today.
Tony, thanks so much. It's always such a deep pleasure to get to talk with you. Thank you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.